You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
January the 24th, 2020. If it's Friday, it must be another day of the Democrat impeachment efforts, their last day. But don't expect it all to end. And of course, the Republicans now have a chance to make their case. Have you lost interest? Do you have any doubt of the outcome? I have text messages coming in from time to time at Larry Connors USA Facebook. You can text me during the program while we're in the air. I try to monitor those as well. And sometimes folks hear a podcast and then they add their comments. One coming in from Mark, which you can tell where Mark's attitude is. He does not like Trump at all. Saying earlier this week, Trump tweeted 130 times in one day. 130 times in one day. Think about that. Okay. I thought about it, Mark. And then Mark also says, if your entire defense is preventing anyone from testifying, you probably did it. That's, of course, reference to the president saying he's going to block some aides and former aides like Bolton, saying it would be a violation of executive privilege. Now, I'm going to remind you, Obama did the same thing with Eric Holder when Holder was called before Congress on the Fast and Furious program. He would not let him go testify. And in fact, later the Congress found Holder in contempt, but that was the end of that. And you certainly didn't see the mainstream media making a lot of noise over it. The other day, we saw the Chief Justice, John Roberts of the Supreme Court, who's presiding over all of this, admonish both sides, basically for a remark that the Democrats had made. We now have some background information on what might have prompted Roberts to make that remark, or his remarks, aside from what the Democrats were saying. We'll get into that. The March for Life is underway in D.C. They're expecting thousands and thousands, and President Trump will be addressing them. This will be the first time in history that a U.S. president has addressed the March for Life since Roe v. Wade passed and the march began. By the way, there's a new scientific study on detailing when the unborn can feel pain, as to when they could actually begin to suffer. We're going to get into that. And I want to tell you about a pro football player finishing up a documentary supporting pro-life. And then we're going to deal with media lies and damn lies. The media and the way it's approaching things, you know, you've already seen it. You probably have your opinion as to, in particular, how the mainstream media is doing, and that might include Fox News as well. We're going to get into that in more detail before we wrap up the next 2 hours. And in the midst of it, we're also going to get into some comments from Hillary Clinton. This is basically something that is going to be, well, it's laughable. Is laughable. I'll tell you what she says. In her opinion, there are not enough Democrats in the news media. What? There are not enough Democrats in the news media. Well, one of the ones you have in the media, Chris Cuomo, on CNN and NNN last night, the other night, made himself look stupid. He came to the defense of Greta Thunberg because Secretary of the Treasury Mnuchin chastised Thunberg and her understanding of economics and basically said she should go study economics instead of environment. And Cuomo said, what is this, picking on children? What is it? What do these Trumpers think they are doing, picking on children? He absolutely forgot or ignored how CNN, NNN, and the other mainstream media picked on the young man from Covington a year ago during the March of Life, to the point that CNN had to pay out a big cash settlement. But I guess he just forgot about that. Now, in the midst of all of this, Jim Lehrer, who was on PBS for many, many years, served as a moderator for numerous presidential debates, has passed away, and he had some rules of journalism. We're going to go through some of those rules and see how they check off with today's, quote, journalist. It's a far cry from his rules or even what should be standard journalism. It's all coming up over the next 2 hours. Let your friends and neighbors know we're on the air. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Wellington Environmental specializes in making your world safer and can save you a lot of unnecessary fear. One client called frantic. A test sample for an indoor swimming pool showed evidence of Legionella bacteria. Well, that meant the entire pool would have to be drained, then washed with acid. But Wellington Environmental found the pool was safe. The test sample was a false positive. In another case, a homeowner said a buyer had just backed out of a closing. The building inspector claimed he had found evidence of mold in a closet. That could be scary. Could certainly cost the deal. Wellington Environmental found it was not mold. It was traces of asphalt from the wheels of a suitcase. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Oh, give me the beat, boys, and free my soul. I want to get lost in your rock and roll and drift away.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Their whole case is presumptions, assumptions, and hearsay. They don't have the facts. They make things up. But frankly, it shouldn't surprise us. Remember, Adam Schiff is the guy who told us for 2 years, I have more than circumstantial evidence President Trump worked with the Russians to influence the election. That wasn't true. Adam Schiff's the guy who told us that the Nunes memo wasn't accurate. That turned out to be false. We had Mr. Horowitz's report last month. Adam Schiff said the FISA process was just fine. Mr. Horowitz told us they lied to the FISA court 17 times. Adam Schiff said we're going to hear from the whistleblower, and we have not spoken. Our staff has not spoken with the whistleblower. Both of those things were wrong. Both of those statements were wrong. So it shouldn't surprise us. Some of the things he and Nadler and his team are now asserting. The facts are solidly on the president's side. The constitutional principles are on the president's side. And the unfair process is another great argument that White House can make, because what they did in the House was very unfair to the president.
The words of Congressman Jim Jordan, Republican of Ohio. Now, the Democrats, of course, today are trying to wrap up and put a cap and seal upon what they think is a perfect presentation. And Jordan just tore it apart. And yesterday, the Democrats were presenting that first article of impeachment, abuse of power, walking through what they called evidence to argue the president used his office to try to extract investigations into his political rivals while withholding U.S. security aid and a valued White House meeting, and why that merits impeachment and removal. There is nothing in the Constitution regarding abuse of power for impeachment. But in the second day of arguments, the House Judiciary Chairman Jerry Nadler, Democrat from New York, wanted you to believe this: an actual statutory crime isn't required for a president to be impeached. In other words, they're saying, we're looking at his motive or what he might have wanted to do, and that's good enough for us. That's what they're trying to do. Well, when they've done that in the past, the president has hit back at them and referenced the transcript that was released of the Zelensky call. And to that extent, Congressman Hakeem Jeffries, Democrat of New York, jumped in on that point and tried to make his case.
Read the transcript, President Trump says. We have read the transcript, and it is damning evidence of a corrupt quid pro quo. The evidence against Donald Trump is hiding in plain sight.
Really? Wait a minute. Did he just use those three words that I thought they had walked away from? Quid pro quo. I thought they'd given up on that. They actually had a study group when they were working on the articles of impeachment to see how those three words played out with the American public and how the research audience, their focus group, would understand quid pro quo and what it meant. Their study group came back and basically said, we don't get that. We don't understand that. I need a moment to take a sip of water. 1 second here. I'm fighting this throat thing again. I'm never going to get rid of it. Well, I will when I quit breathing entirely. Who said that out there? All right, never mind. But thanks for bearing with me. Hakeem Jeffries just brought into play again, quid pro quo. Their focus group found that we don't understand that. Is that some kind of bad fish or something? We don't know. Well, what do you think about the words of extortion and bribery? Yeah, we like those. So that's where the Democrats went as they were going through their preparation for the articles of impeachment. And yet when they came down to the actual articles of impeachment, the very thing they've been arguing about for the last 2 days and wrapping up today, you don't find the words extortion, you don't find the words bribery, and you don't find quid pro quo except from Hakeem Jeffries. Apparently he got off the reservation. He didn't get the order, the word. Drop that word. Those collections of words are very confusing. And yet when you hear House Judiciary Chairman Jerry Nadler, Democrat from New York, argue that an actual statutory crime is not required for a president to be impeached, that's tells you everything, doesn't it? Oh, and by the way, Congressman Jeffries, in the midst of all this, it's supposed to be a somber event, as we were told by Nancy Pelosi when they were taking their vote, and that day she wore black. But, of course, we know she changed her approach once they were signing the articles of impeachment. She had all of these pens lined up so she could sign one part of her name with each pen and hand it off to some of those who were going to be prosecuting the president. And they were all laughing and giggling, looking so forward to it. But since then, we're told again, no, let's get serious again. And Congressman Jeffries decided on the floor, as one of the seven House managers, said he was approached by a man earlier asking, have you heard the latest outrage? And Jeffries said, I was unsure what the man wanted, what he meant. And according to Jeffries, and of course I'm sure he's making this up, Jeffrey said, I thought to myself, well, the president is now back in town, talking about that the president had been in Switzerland. And he said, I was thinking, what has Donald Trump done now? And the man responded, said someone voted against Derek Jeter on his Hall of Fame ballot. Oh, that got some laugh from both sides of the chamber. But Jeffrey said, I understand as House manager, I certainly hope we can subpoena former National Security Advisor John Bolton, subpoena acting White House Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney, but perhaps we can all agree to subpoena the Baseball Hall of Fame. Jeter's got the former shortstop, 14-time All-Star, 5-time Golden Glove winner, got 99.7% of the vote, finishing one vote shy of a unanimous selection, prompting many asking, how could that have happened? So Jeffrey stood in presenting the impeachment trial and charges against President Trump, just entered into the official record, Derek Jeter in the Baseball Hall of Fame vote. Does that kind of give you an impression that these guys, they're running out of things to say? They don't have anything else to say. What we've been over it. We've told them what we're going to tell them. We told them. Now we're telling them again what we told them. We got nothing else. We got nothing. And, of course, they're still pushing for witnesses. And they're continuing to claim that Donald Trump was withholding military aid and money from Ukraine until he got a demand from Met from the new president of Ukraine to carry out an investigation which would focus on what happened in the 2016 election, reference Hillary, Biden, and Ukraine, and then Hunter Biden and Burisma. Trump did not get, as you heard Jordan say a moment ago, he did not get the news conference he wanted. He did not even get the investigation, and nothing was done, and he did not withhold any money or weapons at the time Zelensky, the president of Ukraine, said, I didn't even know there was such a threat because we weren't aware of anything. And if you go back to 2016, Trump made it very clear that when I'm president, I'm going to make sure I look out for U.S. interests. We're not just going to drop money across the globe as past presidents have done. Listen, please.
My foreign policy will always put the interests of the American people and American security above all else. I will also be prepared to deploy America's economic resources. Financial leverage and sanctions can be very, very persuasive.
And they have been. And in fact, if you recall when he was addressing NATO and saying, you know, maybe we should just pull out of NATO. Oh, my God, everybody went, oh, you can't pull out of NATO. Look what he's going to do. He's going to ruin NATO. And what he made clear is you are going, NATO members, to pony up your share, more of your share, or we will cut back on ours and we will withdraw. And you know what? NATO has since applauded Trump because other member nations are now coming forward with more money. They were content to let the U.S. just pay for it all. They'll give us everything. They'll just give us everything. We don't have to put that much into it. Trump said, no, my first responsibility is to the American public. And so when it came to releasing any money to Ukraine, he was concerned about corruption. Ukraine considered one of the most corrupt nations in the world. And he wanted to make sure things had changed. That was part of the conversation with Zelensky. But the monies were still released. Equipment was released. But the Democrats are claiming at the same time the Trump administration broke America's promise to protect Ukraine from Russia because Trump was withholding military aid and money. Senator Joni Ernst, Republican of Iowa, said the Democratic House manager's hypocrisy is on full display. Full display. They spent most of their time lecturing the Senate on aid to Ukraine. Yet four of them, she's talking about four of those Democrat senators, voted against legislation that provided the very same aid they're lecturing us on. There's your hypocrisy. Four members up there claiming that Trump is a bad guy, he was withholding military aid and money from Ukraine, four of them voted against the very legislation that allowed it. And she said, I find it interesting now, the House managers are very, very centered on the fact that Russia was invading Ukraine and military funding to Ukraine. Crimea, of course, invaded in 2014 during the Obama administration. And what did the Obama administration do to help Ukraine? Because you got the Democrats so incensed that Trump was not doing enough to help them. What did Obama do? He sent blankets. He sent blankets. I guess if you hide under the blanket, the Russians won't find you. Is that the idea? And, of course, there's been talk about witnesses, and after we go through this, wrap up the Democrats, then we'll have the Republicans do their case, and then they'll be taking a vote, a debate, on are they going to have witnesses. And part of this whole point against Trump is that what he was doing was trying to deal with the coming election, 2020, to get rid of Joe Biden so he wouldn't be a contender against him in 2020. Everything the Democrats have been doing with this impeachment makes Joe Biden look like he's the guy they want to support. Well, to that extent, Congressman Adam Schiff, Democrat of California, thought he better issue a disclaimer.
My colleagues shared a number of slides showing the polling strength of Joe Biden vis-a-vis the president as a demonstration of his motive. The fact that he went after these political investigations to undermine someone that he was deeply concerned about. This is an appropriate point for me to make the disclaimer. The House managers take no position in the Democratic primary for president. I don't want to lose a single more vote than necessary.
So what we're doing might help Biden or any other Democrats, the very thing we're accusing Trump of trying to do in the past, but don't hold us accountable for that. They're totally, totally out to lunch. And, of course, they got admonished the other day for something that took place on the floor. Now we have some background on what might have prompted the Chief Justice to make his remarks. Please stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
You want to look better, stronger, leaner? Visit my trainer, Jamie, and his team at Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. Check it out, redfitnesslounge.com, redfitnesslounge.com.
Not a yes sir, not a follower. Fit the box, fit the mold, have a seat in the foyer. Take a number. I was lightning before the thunder.
Thunder, 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 thunder.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The other day, as the Democrats began their case against President Trump, one of the prosecutors, they call them managers, but it's a prosecutor in this case, in my opinion, Congressman Gerald Nadler, Democrat in New York, in his opening statement made the remarks like, "The Senate is on trial in the eyes of the American people. Will you betray your pledge to be an impartial juror? Will you choose to be complicit in the president's cover-up? I see a lot of senators voting for a cover-up." Very harsh words in the Senate. And Senator Collins, Republican of Maine, did not like it. She said, "I was stunned by those remarks, and I wrote a note to send up to the Chief Justice Roberts, who was presiding over this." She said, "It reminded me that if we were in a normal debate in the Senate, the rule would be invoked to strike the words of a senator for impugning another senator. So I did write a note raising the issue of whether there'd been a violation of the rules." She gave the note to Secretary for the Majority, and shortly after that, the note apparently had been passed to the Chief Justice, and that's why Chief Justice, or at least in part, why he made these remarks.
"I think it is appropriate at this point for me to admonish both the House managers and the President's counsel in equal terms to remember that they are addressing the world's greatest deliberative body. I don't think we need to aspire to that highest standard, but I do think those addressing the Senate should remember where they are."
And, of course, he said, "I address it to the Democrat House manager and the president's team," but the president's team hadn't done anything. He just kind of decided to put them in the same punishment box. But at least he did respond. And Collins later said, "I'm glad that he did." She said, "I took his offensive. So did Senator Lisa Murkowski, Republican of Alaska. Now the Democrats are trying to pick up some Republican votes. Murkowski and Collins of Maine are considered some of the moderates. Well, they apparently just offended them. I don't think they're going to get them. They better not. They shouldn't. There is a new survey out. It's a Pew Research survey. You might find this interesting. One in three Republican voters in a national poll say that Donald Trump probably or definitely did something illegal while either running for president or during his first 3 years in office. One in three. That same survey showed just 1 in 10 of those same Republicans thought he should be removed from office by impeachment. 86% said he should not be removed. 1 in 3 think he did something illegal of GOPers. Were they really GOP or not? They claim to be. I don't know. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back with John LeBoutier, former U.S. Congressman, a Reaganite, not a Trump supporter. I want to get his take on that and let him have his view on what's happening with this impeachment so far. And I will tell you this, if you haven't heard John before, it can get pretty candid, sometimes get pretty dangerous for me at this end and sometimes for him. We're operating without a net. Please stand by.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
We welcome back John LeBoutier, former U.S. Congressman from New York. Reaganite, as he describes himself, has his own podcast, Revolution underscore the podcast. John, as always, glad to have you on board, sir.
Well, always great to be on with you, Larry. And the lead singer of the Rolling Stones singing that song,
yep.
Satisfaction,
yep.
Mick Jagger, used to be a somewhat regular guest in this house that I'm in right now.
Really?
He's a great friend of my first cousin years ago in the 80s and came out here. He lived out here nearby for a month and actually became a great friend of my mother and loved my mother, called her Aunt Pam.
Oh, that's a fascinating story.
Brought his parents out here for a day off when the Stones were on the Steel Wheels tour.
Wow.
He called my mother up. He said, I got my parents over from England. We have a day off. There's nowhere I'd rather be than out at your house. And out come the Jaggers.
Wow.
And hung out with my mother. I wasn't here. And then about a week later, he calls my mother up. He says, oh, Pam, we're playing Shea Stadium next week, and I have a limo and four seats for you. And my mother says to Mick, she says, Mick, I love you like a son. But you couldn't pay me to go to that concert.
Did you get the tickets?
I did not. Ah. My little sister, who had the same name as our mother, Pam Boutelier, she was a huge Stones fan. She got so mad. She said, Mom, I'm named Pam LeBoutelier. I could have had the limo and the four seats.
That's a heck of a story.
Mick, I'll tell you something. That Mick Jagger is not the way you think of him with the hair and the, you know. He's a real straight arrow. He's over here. My guess is he'd be a Republican. He's thin as can be. Works out like a maniac. He's 75 years old.
Oh, I know.
Thirty years ago.
Yeah,
he's phenomenal. And the guy is pulled together. He's a college guy. I don't think he takes drugs anymore. I don't know how much they did. All those guys did some, but very impressive guy. And his waist, Larry, is. My thigh is bigger than his waist.
Wow.
He's so thin. I mean, amazing, you know.
I'm glad we Quentin just pulled that up, set it up for the bump music, and I'm glad it did. It opened a door on an entirely different conversation. I find that fascinating.
I haven't seen him for a long time.
Well, I got to tell you, he was always – I mean, I remember driving home from work in the oil field playing I Can't Get No Satisfaction. When they come on the radio, I'm just tapping away with my ring, my senior ring, up on top of the car, which is not a good idea to the top of a car. But, I've got something else I want to bring up, too, before we wrap up, in addition to what that sidetrack. First of all, let me run this survey by you because we had it just before you joined us. This is a Pew National survey. 1 in 3 Republican voters believe that Donald Trump probably or definitely did something illegal either while running for president or during his first 3 years. But by the same survey, 86% of them said he should not be removed. Your thoughts?
I saw that. I get it. I think the fact that there's an election this year factors into it. I think if you ask those Republicans, most of them would say, hey, let's let the people decide if we want to keep this guy in. And yeah, they think Trump's probably a crook, but then they say, but all the other politicians are crooks too. And that's what we've sunk to in America when I can tell you Ronald Reagan was not a crook. Dwight Eisenhower was not a crook. I mean, there have been leaders who were not crooks, but there are an awful lot of them who are really low rent. Crummy people.
And well, let's deal with this.
It's discouraging.
Let's deal with this impeachment issue. There's been nothing presented at this point from what I've seen, first of all, that even fits the constitutional definition for an impeachment. Your view?
Well, I think it is. You know, I think high crimes and misdemeanors means abusing the power of the office, that the president can't do certain
things. But what is abuse of power?
Well, it's any way Congress wants to define it.
Right.
Now, the charge here is that he has abused his power twice. Once by squeezing Ukraine to announce an investigation of Joe Biden. And what they did, of course, what Trump did is hold out the money that Congress voted for him, which is illegal, by the way.
They still got it.
They didn't get it, by the way. They didn't get all of it. They still haven't gotten $15 million of it. And that whole thing was bad. And then the second thing, which will be argued today, is the president does not have the right in the Constitution when there's an impeachment inquiry to just say, I'm not giving you anything you want. I'm not giving you any documents, any witnesses. I'm not giving you any.
All right,
which is what he's done.
Let me stop you for a second. How do you explain Obama withholding Holder during the Fast and Furious investigation, saying I'm not going to let him testify in front of Congress?
Well, what did Congress do? They found Holder in contempt of Congress,
but they didn't try to impeach the president on that charge.
First of all, it was the attorney general, not the president, and it wasn't during an impeachment inquiry. In the Constitution, there's a whole level up of impeachment. It's spelled out in the Constitution, in the Article Two about the Article Three about the power of the. Legislature to monitor the executive, and it specifies, and the courts have acknowledged it, that when there's a formal impeachment going on, the presumption is everything has to be given over. Even Nixon and
Why wasn't impeachment brought up against Obama by Democrats? Because I know, but was that abuse of power?
Listen. It was Eric Holder, not Trump, not Obama, who did Fast and Furious. They went after Holder for doing it. it's, you know, whatever you want to say about it, they went after the attorney general. They didn't go after the president. They didn't initiate impeachment of Barack Obama. Many people thought they should, but they didn't.
Do you think
here,
they should have?
This, no, not for that.
Oh.
No. No, okay. God, no. No. We don't even know what Obama's role was in Fast and Furious. This we know exactly. This is Trump running this scheme because he's desperately worried about Joe Biden.
All right, to that extent.
He's going to lose to Joe Biden. He wants something to use against Biden in the election.
Let me interrupt you then, because Adam Schiff yesterday thought for all those folks, for all their noise, that Trump did what he did to make sure that Biden would be damaged in some way and trying to sway the election. Yesterday, Adam Schiff felt he had to make a disclaimer on the Senate floor to say, hey, what we're doing is not trying to endorse Biden. But obviously what they're doing is damaging Donald Trump's election efforts.
Well, listen, he also has four senators sitting in there who are competitors of Joe Biden
right.
in the Democratic primary. So they don't want to look like they're helping Biden. That's why he said that. They got four senators they need.
Well, the Democrats are wrapping up today. Then we go to the Republicans. Do you think there will or will not be witnesses, or do you think at this point there should just be a move to dismiss? I think you want to hear it all out.
I do. Of course I do.
And on one hand, I do,
huge,
too. On one
yeah,
hand,
I mean,
do.
The majority of Americans, 72% in the Reuters poll, including 69% of Republicans, say we ought to have witnesses and documents. And I think that's what they want. And this whole thing with Schiff and what he's been doing these 3 days is they're trying to get at least four Republican senators to do that.
All right. I want to swing the subject again a little bit. Did you watch West Wing when it was on TV?
I did.
You know, I didn't get a chance to see it directly because it's on in the evening and I was doing news anchor work. But for folks who remember, it was on NBC from September 99 to May 2006. Now I'm catching up on it. And I was watching a comment from the White House Chief of Communications, Toby, in the series last night. And he said this remark. If you think he's talking to another liberal because the White House staff was liberal. He said, If you think demonizing our opponents is the way to build our liberal base, get away from me. Words to that effect. How would you contrast the West Wing characterization of Democrats in the White House compared to, well, where we are in politics in general right now? Just the timing setting of West Wing and what was going on then versus now.
Well, I think that both sides have gotten into demonizing the other totally. I mean, it's the thing to do now. And, you know, I mean, I remember when Clinton was getting impeached, the new phrase then was the politics of personal destruction. And we've gone even beyond that now into the politics of demonizing an entire movement, an entire party. And both sides are guilty of it. No one's a saint on this thing. And I think the country, what we're going through, we've been through this stuff before as a country. We've had politics go down into the sump. We had it in the late 1800s, early 1900s, and a guy came along who was so different named Teddy Roosevelt and raised it up, and people were amazed how good he was.
Well, John, I'm going to
You remember the 1970s after Watergate, yeah, Vietnam, yeah. And all, and along came Ronald Reagan. Man,
that was
changed the entire country.
Well, John, we're going to have to let it go there. And again, as I appreciate your insight on this, we're going to be touching back with you as we get deeper into this impeachment farce, as
great,
I'm calling
Larry.
It. And well, thanks
okay.
for sharing the story about Jagger. That was a fascinating story.
All right. We'll talk, I hope, next week.
You bet. Thanks very much.
Okay.
John Labutiere. And again, you can hear him directly on his podcast, Revolution_the podcast. I want to talk about some Democrat lying when we continue.
Crazy for thinking that my love could hold you. I'm crazy for trying and crazy for crying. and I'm crazy for loving you.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Of course, at the very base of this impeachment proceeding against the president is that he's lied to you. He's lied to you and he's lied to everyone else and continues to lie. That's what Democrats and leftists would have you believe. As you heard my guest a moment ago, John LaBoutière, former U.S. Congressman, Republican, Reaganite, he sides with the Democrats on that, saying Trump is wrong. And look at the Democrat candidates that are running. We know Joe Biden has hands deep into Burisma affairs and monies in Ukraine. His son does. And we know Joe's made it clear he went over to get his son out of trouble to stop an investigation. And we know questions about Bernie Sanders and things of this nature and the others as well. And one of them, Elizabeth Warren, she comes to mind right away because she got cornered after a rally by a man who went up to her and said, all this free tuition, am I going to get the money back I paid for my daughter? She's finishing college. Do I get all that money back? And Warren said, of course not. That was a fact, and that was true. So everyone else going to college now, that she's looking for a plan to, they get theirs free, but if you've already paid for your college, tough luck, you're stupid. But Elizabeth Warren has been under so much scrutiny for various lies and missteps. She's the one, of course, who claimed that Bernie Sanders told her in a private conversation, no woman can be president. That came up in the last debate, if you recall. Bernie denied it. And then after it, Elizabeth went over to him after the debate was over, but cameras were still recording, and she said, I think you called me a liar on national TV. And Bernie said, well, I don't want to talk about it right now. Let's talk about it later. This is not the first time Elizabeth Warren has been accused of spreading falsehoods. And she is going up and up in the polls, as is Bernie, as is Biden still. Who knows where that's going to go. But Elizabeth Warren is one of these that has no problem with speaking out of both sides of her mouth. There was a registration card obtained by the Washington Post when she wrote on her race as she filled out the form for the State Bar of Texas in 1986. It was handwritten, signed by her. She wrote as race American Indian. And yet she's always claimed, I've never tried to claim I'm an American Indian for any benefit. Well, yes, she was claiming to be an American Indian and claiming to be a minority and taking advantage of it. In fact, during the Boston Globe, according to the Boston Globe, she listed as a minority professor in law school directories for 9 years and said, at some point after I was hired by them, I provided that information, the University of Pennsylvania and Harvard, my Native American heritage is part of who I am. I'm proud of it. I've been open about it. So she was celebrated at Harvard Law as a first woman of color. October of 2018, she released her DNA test results, which revealed she might be anywhere from 164th to 1,024th Native heritage, meaning basically she has as much Native American heritage as the average white man, thus debunking her claims with her own DNA test. And the Cherokee Nation later said, her DNA test was inappropriate and a mockery. And just last November, she got approached by somebody saying, how can you be against us having private schools when you sent your kids to private school? And she insisted, no, my kids went to public schools. Not true. She sent her son, Alex Warren, to a private school. Look, when you go into the polls and you get ready to vote, be it for president, Senate, Congress, whatever, dog catcher, you're trying to evaluate what you've been told versus what you think you know, what you've heard, and what might be fact and what be fiction. It is difficult sometimes. But what gets me when you got someone like Warren that is told, I just listed, what, 4 or 5 lies, and she's still considered one of the top contenders? Which takes me back to, as I was discussing with John LaBoutière, that TV series, The West Wing. As I said, I was not able to watch it when it was on the air on NBC from 99 to 2006 May. Because of the timing, I was busy doing my job as a news anchor. But I had always had the opinion it's probably a leftist-type approach. Actually, in watching, it is not as left as I would have thought. It's a, quote, Democrat president in the White House, in the West Wing, and the staff is liberal. But they bring in a conservative white woman to kind of balance some of their arguments, and they listen to both sides, and there's no real name-calling. And even the president, as portrayed in the movie, in the TV series, is open to letting the other side have their say. In other words, it was the way we'd like to think government operates. Yeah, there's some shenanigans behind the doors and a little bit of pressure put here and there. But overall, it was civil. And I would apply that to both parties of today. We'll take a break, of course, for the news coming up. Then we'll begin with news and commentary, not just news, but news and commentary when I come back. And we're going to talk about the March for Life in the U.S. and also media lies and damn lies coming up next hour.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.